Heavenly Father, we glorify your name, Lord. We are glad that you are our Father.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the name, O Lord.
We are with him.
Where the morning star stand together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. But there was any star created and so like that. Lord, we are so thankful to you, Lord, and loving us, O Lord God. You laid out your life for us, and you gave us your very self. He gave us eternal life. Jesus is the true God and eternal life.
Amen.
And when we have eternal life, we have Jesus. He gave us himself. He is in us, and we are in him.
Yes.
Say, after me, the Father, and I in you, and you in me. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for making a peculiar people, royal priesthood, Lord. Kings and priests, unto him that loved us, and wash us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us to be kings and priests unto God our Father.
Amen.
To you, Father, the glory, majesty, dominion, honor, and power throughout all eternity. As we read your word this morning, Lord, let the Holy Spirit, who is the author, Lord, give us, O God, a better understanding, and help us to let it mix its faith in our hearts, and be profitable to us today and in the days to come. Father, we ask, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So this morning, by the grace of God, I want to talk about the circles of the Christian life. The circles of the Christian life. Circle, I mean circle. You have heard about inner circle and so on with the Lord and so on. So now, recently we know we talked about last week, I believe it is. We talked about, we don't have many offices, right? We talked about the three offices of the Lord last year, I mean sorry, last week, prophet, priest, and king. That was last week. So it was prophet, priest, and king. So today we want to look at the various relationships which the Lord has with his people. So that's what I call the circles of the Christian life, or if you like, the different relationships the Lord Jesus had with his people. He is king to Israel, to the church, he is the Lord, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Different relationship the Lord had with his people. Yes, he's king for Israel, but to the church, you know, he is the Lord. Now, there is also a friendship relationship. You know, John the Baptist said of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:29, he that has a bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. John the Baptist said, praise the Lord. The Bible says, of what is born of women. None is greater than John the Baptist. But even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. The mysteries of God in it. Can you see your position as the body of Christ? Praise the Lord. The world and demon power to make believe to you. Don't fall for that, amen. Look at the Bible. Don't let us be like people say in the book of James, who look at the mirror and see themselves, and straight away they forget what they look like, you know. Let us keep our eye up when the Bible says we are. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's where we glorify his name. So that is a friendship relationship. The Lord speaks of some of his people as servants. Although really, in one sense, we are all the servants. Yet, he promotes some to the status of friends, of which Abraham was a type. So talking about the friendship, relationship, cycles of, you know, of Christianity and so on, different relationship we have with the Lord and so forth. So Abraham was a type of that friend. In James 2:23, paraphrasing that, verse in James 2:23. Abraham believed God, and he was called a friend of God. We're talking about God, the Lord's relationship to his people, right? Called a friend of God. Right from the beginning, Abraham, you know, the very type of the letter of God, was called a friend of God. Because he believed God, and he was called a friend of God. In Genesis 18:17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? So if Abraham was a type of God's friend, to whom God would not hide that which he did, the other type will be those who Christ promoted to the status of friends. This higher relationship is referred to in John 15:14, talking about the Lord's relationship with his people, the friendship relationship, right? And also, you know, call it cycles and so on. John 15:14. Here, my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you instead. Aren't you so happy? Friend of the living God, amen? We are his children, we are so many things to him, and we are his friends, you know. People try to get angry at God and stuff, but they don't know their position. Even Christians, they get mad at times because they are going through some tribulation and trials and so on. He is our friend, praise the Lord. And we have to retain eternal friendship, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, Christ is a bridegroom. Therefore, he must have a bride. Amen?
Amen.
Surely, it is a great honor to share in any part of Christ's bridal party, as the scripture has said in Revelation 19. I mean, to be any part of the bridal party of Christ is a great, 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 you know, honor, really, you know. In Revelation 19:9, and he said unto me, right, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, I know I said that the other day. I say the bride is not called to the marriage because it's the bride, right? Praise the Lord. How can you be called to your own marriage? Praise the Lord. This is the bride, not called. Anyway, so we see. We believe that the 10 virgins of the Lord's parable in Matthew 25 were supposed to be of the bridal party, actually. That's what we believe, you know. Other people may believe differently. No argument at all, amen. We don't argue anything with anybody, praise the Lord. Argument belongs to hell, praise the Lord. I mean, you tell them what you believe. If they want to believe it, that's okay with them. That's okay with them. Anyway, so we believe those 10 virgins are supposed to be the bridal party. So, but only the 5 white ones made it to the bridal party. And the reason we believe it, so we see, since both the foolish and wise virgins slumbered and slept while the bridegroom tarried, that's in Matthew 25:5, they both slumbered and slept while the bridegroom tarried, right? We believe it was the bride that made the midnight cry of Matthew 25:6. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. So we believe, and you know that most of the things in the New Testament have been foretold, you know, in the Old Testament. That's why David prophesied, so to say, in Psalm 45:14. She, meaning the bride, shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. Now, watch this. The virgins are companions, like the 5 virgins, right? Are companions. They are the bridal party, right? You see, that the bride, you know, that the bridal party. Those virgins were part of the bridal party, we believe, even based on this scripture and so on. That follow her shall be brought unto thee. And as the foolish virgin in the parable of the Lord missed it, why? Because they failed to have oil in their vessels with their lamps. They failed to have the oil of the Spirit. And so, we're not even in the bridal party, let alone be the bride in the brideship. See? What a terrible situation it is, and all that, you know. Anyway, so there will be an inner circle in Christ's coming kingdom, even as there was while he was here on earth. Talking about the circles of the Christian life, if you like, or the Lord's various relationships with his people and things like that, you know. Let's look at it. There is a multitude of people, right? Fourth, there was a multitude who listened to the Lord's words and rejoiced in his miracles, but most of whom never understood the spiritual meaning of the Lord's teaching. And let us see them in John chapter 6. And there are multitude of them, that's talking about category, relationship with the Lord and so on, different group of people and so on, that, you know. So they had this multitude here. They saw his miracle, they rejoiced in it and so on, that, you know. But they did not understand, what he saying. John 16:24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took sheep, and came to Capernaum, that is the capital of the Lord. That is the capital where the Lord put his capital in those days. Why? Capernaum was a city of crossroads. Many crossing routes and so on. So he can preach to as many as he could. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a city of many roads cross and so on, trade routes and so on like that, Capernaum was, seeking for Jesus and so on, So, and the Lord, citing that, that their father, ate manna. Their father ate manna in the wilderness. They asked the Lord for a sign that they might see and believe him. I just opened 51 of John 2, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And said the multitude who saw the miracles and so on and that, but did not understand his word, right? So there are many of them and so on. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I jump to verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, they were disciples, right? Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard it, said, this is a hard thing. Who can hear it? Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples, look at the word, many, went back and walked no more with him. Talking about the multitude and various people with the Lord as well, walked no more with him. They were offended at the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. They were offended at the word. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Apostle Peter said in verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Praise the Lord. See, many people get disturbed at the word, right? Because they don't understand it, right? They depart from the Lord. It happens, less than that, even any age and so on. Because they don't understand it. You believe the word of God, even you don't understand it and so on like that, So we see that there. So the multitude. So, but thank God today, you understand what the Lord meant when he said, if any man eat of this bread, meaning his body, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Later on, the word of God explained itself, right? Later on, at the Last Supper, he now made it plain, even more plain to those who didn't go away, right? Those who went away from him don't know nothing about this thing, right? Or not in the Last Supper, or something like that, And what did he say? Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. All those who went away angry at the word and so on, they don't know anything about this one, right? And then we know in 1 Corinthians 11:23 that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So we see those multitudes they came, they listened to his word, they see the miracles and so on, but because they were offended at the word, they departed and so on. Only a few left. Now that's a group of people, a circle of people and so on. The scripture says that not all the people were privileged to see the Lord after he rose from the dead. The Bible says not all people saw him when he rose from the dead. That scripture can be found where Peter preached in the house of Cornelius in Acts 10:40. Him, meaning Jesus, God raised up the third day
and showed him openly. Now watch, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. God has chosen people, and in ministry and some of that, in Ephesians 1:4, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, even though many people don't see him, so here is another group of people, a cycle. We have the multitude, right? Then we have the over 500 believers. See, he's coming down now, all the multitude and so on. Now, 300 to 500 believers. So there were over 500 believers who followed him the whole way and were counted worthy of witnessing him in his resurrection glory. 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present day, meaning when this thing was written, right? But some of them already falling asleep and so forth. That's another circle of believers, talking about God, the Lord, relationship with his people and so forth. The multitude, now we have the 500. Then we have the 120. See? I believe those 500 people had the Lord's command. As I will show you right now. But he took that to 120. So, of the 500, there were 120 who were so devoted to him that they obeyed his command to tarry in Jerusalem until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe it's in Luke 24:49. It says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Behold, I said unto you, he said, the promise of my Father. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power, right? I believe maybe this prophet was there at that time. How many people obey? Only 120. So therefore, in Acts chapter 1:4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which is said, ye have heard on me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 15. The number of names together were about 120. So when you hear the 120, we're not putting it out of nowhere, from the scripture. Praise the Lord. So when you hear 120 at the upper room and so forth, it's not just a magic number. The Bible says so. Anyway, and of course in Acts 2:1, we see what happened to them. And that's 120 and so on. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Don't you care to listen to his word? It's what we know faith. The first day they were there praying, nothing seemed to happen, but they were rejoicing and they believed the Lord, right? They didn't go anywhere until it happened, amen? Second day, it didn't happen yet. They keep on praising God. Third day, until the 10th day, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you wait enough for the promise of God, it will come to pass. The Lord says, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word will not pass away. Not only the promise of the coming of the Holy Ghost, any other promise of the word of God in this Bible, to you, if you wait enough, shall come to pass, amen? Not in your timing, God's timing, praise the Lord. He will make all things beautiful in their time, amen? God's timing is the best, praise the Lord Jesus. You hold to the promise, forget about timing. Time is the created entity, praise the Lord. God's word is eternal. Bless be his holy name. Amen, praise the Lord. Now we have, during this ministry, we have the 70, right? We had the 70, all kinds of relationship with the law, circuit and so forth, of believers and so forth. So we have the 70.
So we can say that out of this 120, we believe, I mean, that, you know, among the 120, there was a smaller circle of 70 disciples who had gone forth in active ministry in the harvest field. Luke 10 verse 1. After these things, the Lord, these are not in a chronological order anyway, what I'm reading here, just calling out the different cycles and relationship of God's people and so on. Not just in a chronological order. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself will come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe reading further and so on, and that, you know, they come back with great joy and so on, and that, you know. So we see the 70 right here. Of course, we have the 12 apostles, again, not in chronological order. I'm just calling out the different groups and relationship with the Lord and so on, and that, you know. A still more intimate group were his 12 apostles, who had forsaken all to follow him, and whom he ordained to become the special leaders of his church. So, you know, in response to the Lord's coming about how hard it was for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, you know, the Lord says it's even harder than, you know, than for a camel to pass through a needle's eye, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Peter said, who then can be saved? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Who then can be saved? The Lord were for no, for no, for man that is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Eh? Then the Lord comfort Peter and so on. I said, you know, they left, you know, they left all and follow him. As far as Peter is concerned, in Luke chapter 5, remember where the Lord wanted to preach, he had fished all night, right? And just washing his net. And here come, never met the Lord before. I don't know whether I've met the Lord before and so on. And the Lord said, well, then in your boat and so on, you don't enter into his boat. Even they have fished all that and tired and they caught nothing, right? The predestination makes you not to have received, amen? Praise the Lord. After they have fished all that and tired, I'm going home right now. He didn't say that. He was predestinated, praise the Lord. And here he did not preach for the same, push a little bit to the water and preach to them. When he finished preaching, launch into the deep. Oh, Rabboni, Master. We fished all that and caught nothing. But at thy word, amen. Praise the Lord. At thy word, I will launch it and cause a drought of fishes and the net were breaking, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See? And they say, and then, oh, I'm a sinful man. And they prepared for me. No, son. Henceforth, you won't catch fish anymore, you will catch men, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. I want to see to obey the Lord. You know, you can only gain, you know, treasures of blessing you cannot even count and so on. Anyway, anyway, he told Peter when he said, who then can be saved and so on? Mark 10:28. Then Peter began to say unto the Lord, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left hope, house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive a hundredfold now, in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
People always find this hard to give to God. What you give to God, he will give back it to you. You see what he said, that's bad. No man leaving houses, you get it back 100%, amen? Show me which bank gives you 100% interest. Show me, what bank? And when they loan you money, like Shylock, right? They will charge you, whatever is this interest. But when you put your money there, they really chicken change, right? Not with God. Look at even Peter and Dr. In Luke chapter 5. You know, he gave his boat, right? It happened not. He gave his boat, right? He caught an abundance of fishes and so on. When you give to God, he will not only give what you give, more than 100%, amen? What did he say in Malachi 3:10? Bring ye all the tithes into my house and so on, you know? And prove me now, you know, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you will have no room to receive, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. People find it hard to give to God. It's just foolishness and unbelief, amen?
Amen.
Not knowing what the air, not knowing the scripture, not the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, that's what is happening to them. Some Christians, you know, they do that and so on. Think it with God. David said, ask for that which you have given to me, as I give it back to you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, just by the way, I'm talking about offering this money. I'm just saying that, you know, so Peter did that comforted, you know, at one time in the regeneration. All you disciples sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 type of Israel. Amen. You haven't lost nothing by giving all your life living to follow me. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, let's move forward here. Then we have the innermost of all. And then finally, there was the innermost circle of all. Peter, James, and John. Talking about the Christian life circles and so forth, or different relationships with the Lord and his people and so forth. So we have Peter, James, and John. So he took these three into a place he wouldn't take other ones to them. For example, he took them to the Mount of Transfiguration, that's in Matthew 17, which I won't not go to read, we all know that story. One day, three of them, Matthew 17, Mount of Transfiguration. Another time, he brought them into the room with him where Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, that's in Luke 8. And even though he took any of the disciples to the Gethsemane and so forth, but he's really careful there at Gethsemane. Only about three of them, those three and so on, I mean, were dealt with special way at Gethsemane and so on. Anyway, so we see, and those, so there were other occasions that only these three were with the Lord and so on. They were the innermost circle. We did the inner circle, they were. And those, it will be in the world to come. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's talking about the circles of the Christian life and the different relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ with his people. Then there's another thing. The one of the three. And I was, yes, one of the three, meaning John, that was always addressed as that disciple whom the Lord Jesus loved. That's how they always address him. Let's look at him a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that's in John 21, you know, I know I like this 21 verse, start the resurrection. Peter said, you know, I go out fishing, you know, and there were six of them saying, I'm going to go with you, amen. Praise the Lord. You know the story anyway, but I'm going to verse 7 anyway. So after they are fished, again, here we go, verse 1, they fish others and caught not, amen. Like in the beginning when Peter was fishing and so on, there now the Lord has risen from the dead and so on, and then they went out fishing and so on, they have caught nothing. Never let the Lord appear again. I'm saying they always address him as the one whom the Lord loves. So in verse 21 of John, verse 7 of John 21. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved says unto Peter, oh, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, it happened John's mouth, right? The one, praise the Lord. You know, that it was the law, he got his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and this cast himself into the sea. Verse 20 says, and again, of course, in that same chapter, so the Lord said to Peter, and so on. Right now, you go about where you want to go, and nothing hinder you. A time will come when you have to be held by the arm, right? And they will lead you to where you don't want to go. The Bible says it was prophesying of Peter's martyrdom. Praise the Lord.
they don't say that to him, and so, oh no, what about this man? You know, what concerns you? I mean, you know, what's your business with that, you know? So, and he's telling us not to interfere with other people's business or affairs, amen? Just do what he tells you to do, forget about the other people, praise the Lord. Feed my lamb, Christian, you feed my lamb. Love that me, Simon. I love the Lord. Second time, love that me, Simon. I love the third time, he was angry and so, but you ask me, I say, I love you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyway, the 20th, verse 20 says, then Peter, turning about, see the disciple John, whom Jesus loved, right? Following, which also, leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that, betrayed thee? Everybody, I'm just talking about the innermost Adam, out of the three, that same inner one, John, of course, the beloved, and so forth, and so on. What is it to you if I say he will study till I come? Amen. Praise the Lord. There was not a land, but it is happy that John will not die, right? No, but the Lord didn't say that he will not die. Praise the Lord. Anyway, it was not around the early church that the Lord said that John will not die. John didn't say that he will not die. But we know it happened in the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. When he appeared to him with the eye of Patmos, that was what the Lord was talking about. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Revelation 14, talking about the different cycles and the relation with the Lord Jesus Christ of his people and so on. Revelation 14 informs us that there will be a special company in heaven. Limited in number. Will follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Let's read the couple of verses in Revelation 14, the first verse. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the mount of Messiah. With him, 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. I jump to verse 4. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So the 144,000 of Mount Zion are of the first fruits unto God. The Bible says so, not me. No, the verse 4 says so. The first fruits unto God. And they will be with Christ and follow him throughout eternity as one of the highest orders in heaven. See? We believe from other scriptures though, they are not all of the first fruits at all. We believe they are not all of it. But there is special order. After all, Apostle John, who is described for this thing, what is said to be one of the 144,000, it's not in the, it will not be in the bride sheet. Praise the Lord. See? So they are just a higher order of the bride and some of that, And it is a definite fallacy to hold that only 144,000 will go in the rapture, as some other people used to say in the world, in the Christian world, that a sect that say that and so on. Never to be so, because you don't understand the scriptures, right? So another group like that, different relationship with the Lord and his people and so forth. So the thing is this, wherever we are today, in this race, we should not be discouraged, but be determined to win, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't worry yourself, just be determined to win and so on. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this, know ye not that they which run in a race, run on, but one received the prize. So run that you may obtain, amen? I'm not just beating the air and so on, that I want to run to win, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In this Christian, I want to run to win. Look at the athletes, they lifted the train for months, amen? For the thing that perishes, right? How about the eternal thing that we are called unto, praise the Lord. They will train and night and day and so on. How about our profession? Different profession and so on. Our Christianity is our profession. How are we training? How are we getting ready for that greatest event of all time? Anyway, here Apostle Paul hinted that there is a special prize to be won by believers, because he's thinking out here, this way. And the winning of Christ, certainly, does not refer to receiving Christ as a savior. Apostle Paul has already been saved long ago. I mean, we know we are already saved, you know. So, salvation has been settled for him long ago. Like, as we are sitting here tonight, I mean, this day, by the grace of God, our only thought was to be saved. We are already saved, amen. Praise the Lord. So, throughout the epistles, it is revealed to us that salvation is a free gift through our Lord Jesus Christ. So any attempt to receive it by work is emphatically disallowed. Some of the few scriptures we know when we got saved, and the more popular one is Ephesians 2:8, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of work. You see that? Let any man should boast. So the price is not about salvation. No. It's a particular price to be won as Christians and so on. So given this undisputable truth that the price we're talking about here is not salvation, what then did the apostle mean when he said about winning Christ? See, what does he mean? So rather than obtaining personal salvation, the apostle was referring to something to be earned. It has to be something very special, isn't it? A prize that is of such worth as to drop into insignificance any other thing of value in this world, amen?
Mm-hmm.
More than Bezos of his company, who said 500 million or something like that, or 55 million on wedding, or even Elon Musk, the trillionaire, if you want to call it, praise the Lord. I mean, all those ones, unless they get saved. The time is coming, and that, you know, the Bible says, it says they are silver with the canker, and some of that, you know. See? So anyway, nothing in this world can be compared to what we are talking about here. You know, so we see that right here. So something special, that drops into insignificance any other thing of value in this world. Shouldn't we put our emphasis on such a thing? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Or no eternal thing? Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Clearly, the prize is the winning of Christ in some special way, different from salvation. See? Clearly, the qualification of those who win the prize, Apostle Paul is talking about here, involve a full surrender, you know, a full dedication, a full consecration to Christ, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can see Peter, John, and James, they forsook all. Praise, that's their livelihood, right? You can never give to God and come short. Praise the Lord. It is impossible. The cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to God, right? The silver and the gold is mine, said the Lord, the book of Agar. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So go all the way up. Full consecration is what is called for, is what the prize is, and so on. Qualification of those who win this prize he's talking about is full surrender to the Lord, a full dedication, and full consecration. They devote all they possess, this overcomer, this inner circle, and so on. They will devote all they possess, spiritually, mentally, physically, and materially to Christ. Well, this does not mean that God requires his people to take a poverty vow. For that will contradict the scripture I read before, right? So, see, praise the Lord. So we're not promoting poverty here, and so on. That is the contradiction of the scripture, and so on, you know. So, but what it means is this. But what they have, all they have must be put at Christ's disposal, ready to be expended at his command, amen? We leave it open, all that we have, open to Christ, to expend it as he leads us. Praise the Lord, that's what it means. Hallelujah. So thus, to win this prize, did Paul count all things but loss, amen? See? In this race, there will be a sharing of the sufferings of Christ. Part of the prize, right?
sufferings of Christ and so on. Aware. This is not a suffering from sickness as long as or disease. No. After all, Christ had none of this. Christ had no disease, did he? He didn't have any disease, right? So sharing his suffering won't mean that we're going to get sick or something like that. Say, people will say, oh, you know, I'm like Job and so on. Well, if you're like Job, get well. Get healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And have a double portion at the end of your sickness. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so we see that there. And so we see that there and so on. Anyway, so not a suffering from sickness or disease, for Christ had none of those. And it will be an insult to his holiness and purity to imply that the great physician was subject to disease of Satan. Indeed, disease and sickness led before him. Haven't we read Apostle Peter's sermon in the house of Cornelius in Acts 10:38? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The suffering we are talking about here, but that suffering anyway, in 2 Corinthians 1:5. So, but not of sickness or disease. No. 2 Corinthians 1:5. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. Amen? Even in the suffering, he will console us. Praise the Lord. While suffering on the behalf of the God, we will console our consolation, abounded by Christ and so on. So to get some idea of what Apostle Paul suffered, let's take time to read 2 Corinthians 11, 23-33 verses. And now, when you pass, if I pass through something now in the future, see how you compare with this suffering, amen? Praise the Lord. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, he said. In labors, more abundant. In strife, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In death, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times. Received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the hidden, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I'm not weak? Who is offended, and I bore not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not, he said. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king kept the city of the Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I left down by the wall and escaped his hand. Praise the Lord. These are the things we're talking about. Amen. How many of us come near any of these things? Praise the Lord Jesus. Here we see that most of Apostle Paul's suffering came as a result of a persecution for the false brethren and the rigors of evangelism. Amen. That's where his suffering came from. You know. Well, thank God, conditions are somewhat different in the field of preaching today than that. But whether at home or abroad, those who will live godly in Christ will have trials. Amen?
Amen.
Definitely. They will have temptation, and this God's children often forget. When we get into the hard places, right, we forget. And the Lord said in John 16:33, that's a consolation. He already warned us, right? In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Praise the Lord Jesus. And don't forget, in all of these things, He consoled us, He comforted us, even if I will not leave you comforted, right? So, talking about the circles, relationship with the Lord and so forth, and the pride to be won and so on. There is a special dimension of faith anyway, whereby the believer or a believer takes dominion over many circumstances that might otherwise give you or me much grief and pain. We read of that in Job 28:7. I said there is a place whereby the believer takes dominion over many circumstances that might otherwise give him much grief and pain. And that place is told us in Job 28:7. There is a path which no foul way, and which the vulture's eye has not seen. See? Many Christians do not know this. It is known by only those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Amen?
Amen.
You can take in all of Psalm 91 for that, which I don't have time to read all of that, the 94th Psalm, right? And it's a Psalm that every believer should read carefully, study carefully and so forth, for it speaks of the highest plateau of Christian experience, open only to those who have ears to hear. It is a place for those who have learned the advanced lesson of faith and have entered into that realm where they rise above many of the petty annoyances and problems of life, thus releasing them for greater advances and greater victories over the foe. See? I mean, you know, many the petty annoyances of this life, they tie us down, they hinder. No, they hinder our progress, into the higher things of God. Praise the Lord. You are struggling with little annoyances and so forth, the time for consecration, the time for further praying, the time for seeking the Lord and so on like that, you know. Like a friction, you know, and so on like that, you know, in our emotion, you know, if you want to talk a little bit of scientific things and so on like that, you know. Anyway, let us move on here. So, there are many obstacles that may keep a believer from the reward of being in the inner circle. We're talking about this morning, talking about the innermost circle, right? And let us be careful of some of these things, you know. It could be slothfulness. Here are some of the things that may hinder a child of God from being in the inner circle. Slothfulness and negligence in the Christian calling that will hinder you from being in the inner circle. If you are slothful and negligent about the things of the Lord in Christian calling. Being too casual in the old way of life, we do that also. Few things I put here. Apt to resent any pressure that will disturb one's comfortable zone or routine, you know, in the service of the Lord, we hinder one from being the inner circle. Others are too disorganized to win the race. So we see, we can keep on going and going, you know, what can really hinder one, and to be aware of this thing and to avoid it. So some are saved, but saved as by fire, or with a diminished reward, and destined to spend eternity in the outer circle of it. See, there are circles, right? I want to be in the inner circle, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. You know? So anyway, so do men in this life determine their own destiny? The point is, what I want to say is, wherever we are right now, in the race, I say it again, we should not be discouraged anyway, but be determined to win. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You're not to be discouraged and so on, you know, but you're determined to win. So, well, some may say, I'm not fit to belong to the inner circle. Don't say that. Even Apostle Peter,
as we know him, was an impulsive man, yet he was chosen. Amen. Don't forget that James and John, they are called the sons of thunder, right? We call them as sons of thunder. And so they were self-seeking men, actually, who through their mother sought to sit on the right and the left hand of Jesus in his kingdom, right? They were still self-seeking, right? In fact, the other disciples were so angry with them, amen? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. When the Lord now replied, not for me to give, you know, those positions and so on. But the other were jealous, right, of them and so on. They were self-seeking and so on. Yeah, the Lord sought them, you know, I mean, he chose them and so on like that, you know. So, not to be discouraged and so on, you know. So, anyway, so, why did the Lord choose them? The thing is this. So, because the Lord saw them like the golden grain of character when they were sifted as wheat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he saw them as a golden grain, of character when they were sifted as wheat. You know, the Lord told Peter, you know, Satan sort of sift you as wheat, right? But I'll pray for you. Praise the Lord. So we see, so that is the character that what he's looking for and so on. So that will make them leaders, I mean, in the church and something like that, you know. So how did they get in there? They forsook all to follow him. Praise the Lord. That is the thing and something like that. You know, we already explained that, you know. So the Lord knew that they were consecrated men and therefore he chose them. Apostle Paul did not claim he had already achieve his goal during his life and so on. So again, wherever you are today, don't give up. You just, you know, let's see what Apostle Paul said here, you know, in Philippians 3:12, as I close here this morning, talking about the different circles, relationship with the Lord and so forth. And you know that there's a price, you know, not to become saved or anything, that we don't pay for our salvation. That's already settled because we are God's children. Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained. You think you have a failure here and there, don't give up, amen? Or you are, say, I'm not marching to where I know what we're talking about this morning. So not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. That is the key, amen? Follow, I don't just sit down there and say, oh, you know, oh, me, and so you don't say, oh, me, no, I follow after, you know, is that I may apprehend, meaning understand, that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I cast not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. If there's any trap, Satan said for God's children, is to remind them of the things which are past. You see? They begin to dwell on the past. Whoa, what is, you know, then it drags you down. This is the path of the overcomer, forgetting those things which are past, right? And looking forward to those things which are yet to come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, we all fall into that trap once in a while. We just get tied to the past. You know, as well as, you know, it's not profitable at all. It's a hindrance. It's a Satan's trap. Praise the Lord. So as overcomer, I mean, definitely to be overcomer, learn this secret and so on, you know. So I press towards the mark, verse 14. Of the high calling, to the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep on pressing. I don't let this idea be, no. No, at one time I said here, you know, there's only one day that you need to even care about. Yesterday is gone, right? Go to the eternal path, right? Tomorrow is not just to call, don't know when I'm going to call. Only today. So that they don't even thought of saying, you know what, you know, I know say, so fear unto each day at the evil thereof, right? Praise the Lord Jesus. As we close up here this morning, so by the grace of God. Nevertheless, verse 16, nevertheless, we have already attained, you see. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Whatever place you have got in Christianity, don't throw that away, eh? Build up on that. Praise the Lord. So the Apostle Paul pressed toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, it will indicate that this is not a price to be won by Christians with a mindset of, quote,
If I can just make it to heaven. We don't want to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to be in that inner circle. Praise the Lord. You know? Yeah. You see? The prize is reserved for the overcomers. The 100-fold fruit-bearing Christians. The Lord taught us in his parable in Matthew 13. Let me read the paraphrase from that. You know, from that something. One to the 100. I mean, he said, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So this constitutes the inner circle believers, amen? Bringing forth fruit and so like that, you know, believers and so on. To be in this coveted class, one must, as Paul put forth his supreme effort, he must throw everything he has into the fight, amen? The other day we were talking about the good fight of faith, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. It's a fight, the fight of faith, you know, and something like that, you know. Don't fight at one beating the air anyway. It doesn't mean that the possession of some special gift or talent, but that one must give all he has. And that reminds us of the poor widow of Mark 12 that the Lord gave you know, an example to his people. It's not so much of anything, just be faithful with what God has given to you in serving the Lord, amen. Look at that you know, in Mark 12:43. As he, meaning the Lord, called unto him, and he, meaning the Lord, called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Amen? Amen. There was no record that woman went back. Amen? Amen. Not in the Bible. Praise the Lord. He cast in all her living. I don't see any record in the Bible that says that she went begging afterward. Praise the Lord. See? Of course. This consecration includes much more than just our material gifts. You know? I mean, we are not of our own. We are the Lord's. Amen? Amen. So, Paul said he had not yet attained, right? The prize. But forgetting the past, I want to repeat it again. Yeah, you know? He pushed on forward toward the mark. So, brother and sister, there is no stopping place in this life. No retirement from this warfare, brother, until we hear the word come up either, amen?
Amen.
No retirement, no resting, no respite, amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved, that's what the master said, amen?
Amen?
And his grace is sufficient for us. Blessed be his holy name.
Amen.
No man go to the warfare at his own cost, amen?
Amen.
Keep us, and that is the Holy Ghost and so on. He gave us his name. You know, and the authority over all the power of the enemy. So, but we know this. Paul did finally win, anyway, the prize. And, and as a shadow of the executioner, you know, he was killed by Nero. You see, and so in Rome and so on, that, you know. So, as a shadow of executioner fell across his path, he could say in 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, he said, the fight of faith, right? I have finished my course, he said, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, he said, but unto all the also that love is appearing. The key to love is appearing, amen? More than anything in this world, amen? This world will soon pass away and the glory of it. Praise the Lord. Love is appearing, he said. And the Lord shall deliver me, he said, from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom.
to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Paul knew that his fight was finished, his work was done, the prize he had so coveted and longed for through those many, many years of suffering and toil was his. Was convinced, toil and toil. He could hardly wait for the moment of his departure from this world. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you are wondering, you know, how these people, you know, endure martyrdom and so on, you know, the Lord has shown them what will be. Amen? So, I mean, as was before, I got to the third heaven before, amen? I had word unspeakable. You didn't want to come back really, you know? See, but I'm a minister more to the people, right? Praise the Lord. I mean, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, he saw heaven, right? Heaven open. So the pain of the stoning was nothing. He even prayed for them, Father forgive them, right? He saw the glory of God and said, I say, Christ, you know, standing at the right hand of God and God, right, you know? So you see that, you know, so Peter said, he was executed too, even though he said, don't execute me upright, I'm not qualified to be crucified like my door, crucified upside down. The Lord has already told him before, in John 21, I read before, right? What manner of death will die, right? The Lord showed it to him before. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, so this morning as we finish here by the grace of God, surely an abundant entrance into the heavenly kingdom awaited him. So the prize then is the supreme joy of being a part of the inner circle. That's what I'm talking about this morning, amen? Being in the inner circle, to be included in the very bride of Christ, to be close to him as a wife to husband for all eternity. Praise the Lord. May the Lord God grant that we also in this race, pursue the goal until it is won. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Noting through the scripture, the direct relationship of the Lord with his people, I will convert the very best. Amen? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us in Luke 12, little children, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom in the name of the Lord. So therefore we go forward with courage, knowing that the Lord is with us always. And he admonishes throughout the church ages, it has overcome it. And we know, O Lord God, by his grace, we will be overcomers as we press toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you this morning. We worship you for encouraging us through the scripture. When we see what it goes through to bring God the gospel upon you, Paul and so on, that you know. Then, hold on, what you are going through is just like nothing. And the grace of God is more than sufficient for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I count us worthy, Lord, to be in that inner circle. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
And amen. Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.